Hey, commerce experience listeners, are you an e-commerce pro or digital merchandiser headed to NRF 2023 in New York City? Bloomreach would love to host you. Take a break from the bustle of the conference at our merchandiser meetup right in Hudson Yards. We'll be taking a beat at Electric Lemon on Monday, January 16th from 2 to 4 p.m. Register to secure your spot at visit.bloomreach.com/merchandiser meetup. We can't wait to see you there. We'll leave the details in the show notes. Now back to Commerce Experience.
Welcome everyone to Commerce Experience. I'm your host, Brian Walker, Chief Strategy Officer at Bloomreach. Today, I'm joined by Amy Eshleman, Managing Director of Cloud Retail Industry Solutions at Google. Amy brings a wealth of expertise and experience thanks to her prior work at companies like Sephora, Autodesk, Williams-Sonoma, and of course, Google. In this episode, we'll talk with Amy about how retailers and consumer-focused businesses should be thinking about their digital transformation in light of the current economic environment. What's important? What to think about, and how to ensure they are not caught flat-footed, backing off of critical investments needed for the long haul. Enjoy the show. Amy, thank you so much for being here today. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Amy, I always lead with the same first question in every episode. What was your first job or role that dealt with digital or e-commerce?
So many, many years ago, when I started working at Williams-Sonoma, one of my first jobs was actually selling gift sets online. And so I had to kind of take a merchandising role, an online merchandising role. And it was a great experience because not only did I have to think about how would this product show up online, how was I going to market to it, but I even had to set up the SKU. And so it was like from soup to nuts, like understanding how to put a product online. And it's a complicated process, just like seeing how everything comes to life. And that was my first job that had anything digitally related to it. And it really truly was like from beginning to end, like, how does a product get sold online?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's amazing how similar the processes still are for a lot of online merchants, right? Amy, you work largely with brands and CPG companies that have traditionally looked at technology and IT spend as a cost versus an investment, something to be minimized. And obviously, over the last 20 years, that has evolved and changed significantly, largely due to the pressure, the competitive pressure businesses have faced online, but obviously also the rise of omni-channel and the growth of e-commerce and digital marketing as a key part of their businesses. How have you seen the shift forward, you know, looking at digital as an investment, technology and people, and, you know, how that's now a critical part of retailer and consumer product companies' strategies and investments?
Yeah. I mean, I think the shift really comes at the core from what the customer expects and your ability to serve the customer. And so, you know, thinking about technology as an investment or a cost versus as a enabler of amazing experiences or an enabler of being more efficient. I think that shift really was led by, it started with that consumer change. And so I think that to me is one of the key catalysts. The other thing I will say is that I don't think we can underestimate how important the mobile phone is in this entire transition. And like if I have a smartphone now, which is the center of my universe. And so I no longer think about a retailer as, hey, I'm going into your store or I'm going on your site. Like they are all the time. And it's totally like it really becomes, your mobile phone really becomes kind of the unifying glue or the unifying force for an omni-channel experience and changes your technology investments yet again, like really thinking about how do I make this is seamless for a customer across all of these channels. And yeah, again, the phone, I think, changed how we think about everything.
I think that's a really good point. And to that point, we tend to, you know, count the cash register and, you know, the media and everyone else, including, you know, Bloomreach, we obviously focus on conversion rate and online sales as a percentage of overall retail and what have you. But the reality is so much demand, so much customer engagement now is happening through digital channels, obviously the phone being now the key one, and that's driving demand through all channels. And so to think about digital only as, oh, I'm, you know, it's X percentage of my revenue kind of misses the point.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. It influences so much of your sales. I mean, that's like truly one of the classic issues too of, you know, your digital marketing influences so much of your sales, but where and how, like it's a constant, it's
attribution remains a huge challenge.
Yeah, it is. And yet, you know, we know it to be true, but how true? And so I think the tooling, the measurement, the metrics, how we do these still has to catch up with how consumers are behaving and how they're asking us to behave.
Yeah, I think we'll get into that, I think, a little bit later in the conversation as well. But my next question is, you know, how is that changing? You know, we're facing kind of a different environment economically than we were just 9 months ago or certainly 12 months ago. There is certainly some out there who are anticipating a recessionary environment, you know, as credit becomes expensive, as the housing market is impacted, equity markets continue to be turbulent. All of that leads to a lot of, you know, consumer uncertainty. And obviously there are impacts directly on a lot of consumers, especially post-stimulus now. You know, that's definitely in the rearview mirror. You know, consumer credit is rising. There's a lot of indicators that people are obviously following. And certainly retailers and brands are very cognizant of that. And they're going to be looking at how they invest perhaps differently. You know, how do you see businesses looking at their technology investments and plans, you know, in the near term, say next year?
Yeah. Well, I mean, first, I totally agree with you on the uncertainty. We can see that in consumer behavior as well. Like when we look at search terms, you know, there's 100% growth globally for when will prices go down? Like just absolute uncertainty and a huge search for value too. You see consumers searching for buy one, get one free, or searching for, I love this search term, like increases in searches for promo code for existing user. Like yeah. This is like clearly a very savvy audience and they're looking for a deal. And so you can see that uncertainty. And we've seen it in the news as well. You know, you see retailers talk about how I've got too much of the wrong thing. And so you're going to see a hit to my margins as I work through this inventory. I think on an investment perspective, companies are reacting with a focus on profitability, right? How can I become more profitable? And data and AI play a huge part in that. You know, how can you leverage your data in new and interesting ways with machine learning and to optimize across the entire retail value chain. And there's so many places to look for that value. And I think that's one of the challenges. How do you make sure you're looking in the right spot? I mean, we're in an environment, retail's always been an environment where every penny counts, but now even more so. But so I think key areas that we're seeing rise to the surface, like how do you optimize promotions for profitability? How do you make sure your inventory is in the right spot? Because now you've got, you know, shortages of some stuff, surpluses of another. How do you make sure you're optimizing that across your points of distribution? And how do you ensure that you're focused on like the most important, the most profitable customer segments? Like, I think it's just very much an environment where people are looking to optimize for profitability and using data and AI to get to those answers.
Yeah, absolutely. And it really is an end-to-end, which, you know, really translates to this is not just about your front-end marketing and customer experience through your digital channels. This really reaches all the way back to product sourcing, logistics, transportation, facilities, and merchandising. And for many, you know, retailers and brands, having a strong data foundation is something that they didn't necessarily arrive at the party with. It's been a journey. It continues to be one for many. And obviously there's a host of solutions out there that people should be investigating and looking at in order to understand how to optimize, as well as talent and tools to help them get there. Couldn't agree more. And to that point, let's talk about data and how larger retailers and brands are looking at specifically customer and product data differently now, and especially in the context of the ongoing shifts in customer data privacy and the marketing impacts. And obviously, Google's right at the center of much of that. But how do you see on the retailer and brand side, you know, the change really start to impact them and how they're responding.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've been talking about the importance, we as an industry have been talking about the importance of first party data for at least 3 years now,
I'd say longer.
Longer, but with like a huge degree of urgency over the last 3 years. Like exactly, the urgency went up 3 years ago, and I don't think it's gone down. So like, given what you mentioned, like the changing privacy landscape, companies' reactions to that privacy landscape, you know, absolutely critical. Your first party, especially your first party customer data is, you know, really important to driving everything from what does your merchandising look like to how and where are you spending your marketing and on which customer segments. And so that, I think, continues to be hugely important. I think what's interesting is kind of what comes next too. Like, now you've got great customer data. What can you do with it? Like, how do you take as much advantage of that as you possibly can? And what like insights and activations can you get out of it? How do you, you know, use AI to make predictions or inferences when information's imperfect? Like, even though we've got all this great data, we never have as much as we want. So how can you use machine learning to kind of fill in the gaps for you? You know, one-to-one personalization is kind of the holy grail, but that can be hard to get to. And I think also, like, how do you think about that customer data, like first-party customer data, but also the other first-party data that you have? Like, how do you think about all of that together? And what, you know, what kind of merchandising or assortment decisions can be made when you've got the combination of customer data and product attribute data? Like, there really is, I think, so much to be done with that information. It's kind of table stakes that you have it, and then now what's next is what amazing things can you do with it?
Yeah, and you really do have to use AI and machine learning in order to scale it, right?
Yeah.
You know, using human beings to interpret the data, make decisions, do testing, and try to drive optimization, you know, there's obviously a functional limit. And obviously, time is also a part of that. So using AI and ML and driving that sort of, round trip optimization is critical in order to do that. And to your point earlier, the focus on profitability, in my opinion, only further elevates the importance of having a great, you know, first party data foundation, because now you're focusing on how do you get your best customers to not only continue to buy at their rate, but buy just a bit more, right? How do you get the right relevant, you know, products in front of them, relevant offers, and treat them in a personalized way, which, you know, they're now expecting because they know they're an important loyal customer. They have an affinity to your brand. How do you take them to the next level? And really, that's your most profitable marketing right there.
Yeah, for sure. And I think to your point, our customers are very savvy. They know that they've given you a lot of great data in everything that they do with you. They do want you to use it to make that personalized experience more impactful, more personal, more unique to them. And so I think that the customer expectation is too, is that if you have that data, you have all that first party data, you're making good use of it. You're making the customer service much more seamless, smoother. Every experience is frictionless. You know exactly what I want. You know what I want next. You know when I want it. Like, I definitely think that there's that element of, you kind of owe it to your customer to use that data well.
Yeah, I sort of like look at it as it's getting back in a sense to first principles of how, you know, customer service, you know, was in a very, very different era when you knew the shopkeeper at the street corner, right? Well, obviously we're in a very different context now, but now we have the tools and the data available to create a similar type of an experience that is omnichannel, that leverages the digital communication in a way that reaches back to those first principles. And if you're using the customer data to improve the experience, time and time again, we've seen that consumers are more than willing to do that. If you're a trusted partner, trusted, you know, business that they work with, they're going to do that if, and especially, it improves their experience. Let's talk a little bit about a different aspect of digital transformation. It's obviously something that you work, you know, closely on, and that's the sort of aspect of digital transformation that is the adoption of cloud tools and infrastructure. You know, businesses are now looking to leverage on-demand technology for hosting, for application development, and obviously for data. You know, there's essentially 3 to 4 core solutions in the market, you know, just to name names, a couple of them, just so that people know what we're talking about. There is Amazon. There's, of course, Google. There's Microsoft, even Alibaba, and many others, you know, providing those kinds of solutions in the marketplace. But my question is more, how should business leaders be thinking about, and I'm talking about business leaders here, not necessarily the CIO and their organization, but how should business leaders be thinking about cloud infrastructure and how to ask the right questions when their CIO or their development team is talking about cloud, you know, solutions and which cloud they're working with and so on and so on? What are some of the things you would advise a business person to be thinking about and looking out for?
No, it's a great question. And I mean, my background is on the business side. And I think up to about 5 years ago, I wouldn't have even known what people are talking about. It's a great question. And I do think business people need to be very aware of like what is going on in the background. So at the most foundational level, asking questions about the ability to scale and how flexibly. So will I have the scale to meet my Black Friday requirements, or am I going to have to throttle the site? Like, you really have to understand what is the capacity to grow when you need to grow and to do so flexibly and to do it at, you know, as cost in as cost manageable way as possible. And I think secondly is like, how easy is it to manage your cloud environment? And that includes like, how quickly can you stand this new thing up? How flexible is that environment? Because as a business person, you're constantly going to be wanting to add new features, new functionality, do new things. How hard is that going to be? And how flexible can that be? All of that leads to, I would say, cost optimization, which is critical in today's environment. And as a business person, you should be really interested in that. Like, how is this going to affect my P&L? So, is, you know, will I be able to do all of this at a lower cost of ownership? We actually recently published a case study with a company called Noon, which is a e-commerce platform in the Middle East. And they were able to, you know, do those things that you want to hear as a business person. You want to hear that, like, I can launch new environments easily. They reduce their cost of ownership by about 40%. Like, that's a really good case study.
Meaningful.
And like, yeah, it's meaningful. And as like a business person, that's what you want to hear. You want to hear that, great, it's going to take less time and it's going to cost me less. Great. But I think the thing to be asking about now, like all that stuff, I would consider like foundational. Like, that's what cloud should be doing. I think what's next is asking about some questions that are a little bit more future forward. So how easy is it to implement AI solutions that leverage that speed, that scale, that flexibility, that access to data in the cloud that you couldn't otherwise do? And then I would say more recently is asking about how, especially for omnichannel retailers, which we started this conversation with, how can the cloud be extended to the edge? Because the store right now is a total hotspot for innovation. So how can you move that data to the cloud? How can you move applications to the cloud to allow you that same flexibility and scalability and the ability to, you know, launch new features and functionality in the store, as well as look at that store as a source of data and new data that you didn't otherwise, you didn't have in the same way before. You certainly didn't have it in real time. We've had customers that have, you know, develop solutions that give you augmented reality in the store, which is, you know, a fun, engaging feature that you could not have done otherwise, or self-checkout technologies that, again, like, gives you the flexibility to do that at the edge in a way that you never could before. And so I think there's still a lot of what comes next in cloud. And as a business person, you should be asking, like, these are the fun, futuristic things that I want to do. Is this going to enable me to do that? And AI and store are two just good examples of like, hey, you know what? That those are two things that you should be thinking about what comes next.
Absolutely. And, you know, traditional, more legacy sort of technology environments, obviously much of the store technology was built, you know, well over 20 years ago. You know, in many cases, people might be, you know, sort of reluctant to share like how old some of that, in some cases, old mainframe technology is to run the store environments. There was a lot built into, for example, POS systems and so forth that kind of went beyond just taking a transaction, and it really went into how you manage the staff and the store and inventory and so on. So affecting the customer experience or getting the data out of those systems in order to make productive use of it was really, really challenging in the past.
Yeah.
Once you start putting that in a cloud infrastructure, not only can you start to modernize it, start to impact it and kind of augment it, but then also, as you said, right, really look to it as a source of data that can ultimately, again, add to the personalized customer journeys that you're looking to drive in an omni-channel environment. And there's so much that store associates can glean about what's important to a customer, and there's so much you can arm them with to be more effective, and get the customer what they need, and I think we're really just at the tip of the iceberg.
I totally agree.
Of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot more that we can be doing, I think, as an industry to close that gap, but certainly having the right infrastructure in place is critical. What are some of the key priorities that you're hearing from retailers and consumer products companies as they look to the next, say, 12 to 36 months? What's on the top of their mind? I'm thinking about things like, modernizing the back office, supply chain, product discovery, customer experience. What are you hearing as sort of the key drivers now? Again, based on where we're at in the evolution of things and now post-pandemic, what's top of mind for the customers that you're engaging with?
Yeah, it's interesting. It's post-pandemic, but I think that even the next 12 to 36 months are very much colored by what we have collectively experienced. And so there's a couple key areas. One, supply chain, yes, for sure, continues to be kind of a real focus. But I would say that it's evolved over time, right? So at the beginning of the pandemic, everyone was really concerned about inventory visibility. Where is everything? How do I have a better handle on where products are? And right now it's more evolved to, okay, I need to figure out how to optimize this better. I need to understand where I should be putting it, how I should be allocating it, what I should be putting on promo and not putting on promo, to whom should I be offering those deals. And so like pricing and promo optimization and just kind of assortment and allocation optimization is kind of where I think people have shifted. In general, supply chain continues to be just, and will continue to be, a really important part to invest.
And again, just to reflect on how that was done, probably in many cases still being done this way, right? Stores were either A, B, or C stores. That meant they got a certain allocation, and then there's back stock. And then, now we're going to launch this direct-to-consumer e-commerce channel. We're going to put inventory over there. And yeah, you might be trying to kind of fulfill across channel, but you're not really upfront in the past. Again, as you said, optimizing where that inventory should be.
Right.
And that inventory now, your stores are a fulfillment node in a network to the consumer. You know, obviously there's an experience you're looking to deliver there. You're putting that product out on the floor. You're merchandising it. You're creating an environment with it. But now it's also being picked from the floor to fulfill the customer. Yeah. And now the customer expectation is, I should be getting that in 2 days. I should be getting that in 3 days.
At minimum.
At minimum.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. And at the same time, we now have much better tools to predict the demand, so you're no longer just kind of using this sort of gross crude tool to do your allocation. I just wanted to kind of double click on what you were sharing there, because I think for some listeners, maybe they don't quite have the context, but now it's very interesting to hear that. And I think that's a positive sign that retailers are really focusing on that.
Yeah. I mean, I think too, when you think about just the pressure to be more profitable when every penny matters, like, it's a huge opportunity if you can optimize pricing, optimize promotion, optimize the assortment by location. There's definitely an opportunity to improve profits. The other place I would say, and you touched on it earlier too, was this entire idea of about like the associate.
Mm-hmm.
How can we use data to improve their ability to serve the customer? And so I think just given an economic environment, given kind of the labor market that we're in, helping retailers are definitely looking at how can I improve the associate experience? How can I improve associate productivity? How can I help them understand in the incredibly long list of things that everyone has to do every day. What is the right thing to do right now? Especially in, you know, like a truck doesn't show up on time or someone called in sick. Like, your life is constantly changing. And so how do you help the associate be as productive as possible? I would say that is like a key area. And it can be anything from training to like the day-to-day life of an associate. It's interesting to see it just rise to the top of a lot of retailer concerns. It's same thing with a store. Like, it's a neglected area. Like, the associate experience could use some attention.
Could use some TLC.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah, as someone who grew up in retail a long time ago, you know, I feel for the folks out there, especially this time of year.
Yeah, exactly.
Coping with a lot. And I think what's also really interesting is now the consumer often comes in armed with more information than sometimes the associate has.
100%.
Right? Yeah. And it's right there in their pocket. And sometimes they'll quiz the associate on how much they know. And the poor associate is trying to just cope with it. And so even as simple as content and product information, and again, leveraging much the same technology you would use to drive smart, you know, personalization around product recommendations and offers to a direct-to-consumer experience online. Well, the associate can also be another channel for that. And you're helping them help the customer have a good experience, right?
Yep.
That's another huge opportunity that, again, I don't think many retailers have really cracked. And I think as an industry, we're fairly early on.
Yeah. No, agreed.
What about, you know, some of the sort of digital pieces? So things like product discovery and customer engagement, how are those fitting into retailers, you know, priorities right now?
Absolutely top of mind. And I think I would put two kind of lenses on that. One is we talked about personalization. If you're trying to drive a more personalized experience, how can you help drive personalization in that experience? How can you make sure that a customer is seeing the things that are right for them, even if that's like a brand new product that's never been on the site before? Like, how do you make sure that people are getting exposed to the right things for them? I would say the other lens to think about it is that, like, there's this expansion of the digital ecosystem. And so product discovery is, like, it's everywhere. You know, you see it on YouTube, you see it on Instagram, you see it on TikTok. Like, you're discovering products in new and very interesting ways all over. And so really thinking about how to make sure that the right products are in front of those customers is an important part of getting people down the funnel.
Yeah. And creating an end-to-end journey that's consistent as well, which is, of course, remains also a major effort. Right. Today, which again, ML and AI can really help improve. So what would you say to a business leader who's kind of coming to you and, you know, feeling a little overwhelmed by digital transformation? It feels like every few months, like, there's a different priority. There's a different thing that their CEO or board is asking about, you know, 6 months ago or maybe a year ago. Metaverse, 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 right? Yep. Now no one's asking about metaverse. Nope. The, you know, all the way down to different social media channels, and that continues to evolve quickly, right? TikTok was not a new thing a year ago, but now it is the thing, right? You know, we continue to see a lot of pressure put on the business leader to understand the technology landscape that they're operating with and in, and they may feel a little bit overwhelmed, right? And I'm just curious, you know, you've been in this for some time and you work with retailers every day, many of whom may be expressing, you know, some of that. What do you think they should think about when it comes to prioritization and how to address this kind of sense of overwhelming anxiety about this digital transformation journey?
Yeah. I mean, first of all, I empathize because the situation you just described at the beginning, I'm like, yes, definitely. Yes. So I would say, you know, like, a couple of things. One, keep the customer in mind. Like, you have to follow your customer or who you want to be your customers based on what data you have about your existing customers. And so you really do have to keep the customer in mind and think about making sure that you're delivering the most valuable experiences for them. And that's, I guess, the most important part of this, is that resources are constrained. They're constrained for everyone especially constrained. I would retail, like I think is especially constrained. And so you have to look for the things that are quick wins, the things that you can help prove success while you think about the longer term. And so, you know, like modernizing marketing, which basically is kind of what you were describing there of like with this changing digital ecosystem, how do you make sure that you're keeping on top of the right marketing channels? And so I think that like experimenting, trying things out, and understanding how in the meantime, like how you have to build the underlying technology to scale what works is important. So, you know, again, like I look for quick wins, look for things, ways to prove success, make sure it works, and then start to think about like, how do I scale this?
Yeah, couldn't agree more. And I think the customer focus is key. I also think hearkening back to some of the things we talked about earlier in the conversation, you know, having a modern sort of tech stack and the ability to be agile, it's not just about, you know, quickly adding features and so forth. It's really about testing and experimentation. If that's low cost for you, if that's something you can, you know, put on someone's plate as a sort of a side project, a 10% project, if you will, because the technology enables some experimentation and testing, you'll be ahead of the game. Either you'll know it's not the right time, the customer's not ready for it, it's not productive, or you'll learn something that you can double down on and start to exploit and scale. And yet a lot of retailers have struggled in the past with that kind of technology environment. And that limits your ability to experiment, and it makes everything seem like a big bet, right? Which is a really challenging place to be.
And sometimes it's not the technology too. Sometimes it's the way you work. And so I think that there's like, you know, culturally, you do have to think about, like, to your point, like, do you put it off the side of someone's desk? Do you create, you know, little tiger teams to go after things? Like, how do you think about culturally how you can experiment with less risk, without the fear of failure?
Yeah, exactly right. So putting on your futurist hat here for a minute, I guess it's not the distant future, but the not too distant future. What do you think are some of the biggest opportunities for retailers and brands, you know, consumer products companies when they're thinking about 5 years away, right? Which will be here before we know it, whether we like it or not. It's hard to always predict what kind of environment, right, we're going to be operating in, but there's certain things that we probably can know, such as the role of digital will only become more important, right? Omnichannel will become ever more important to the consumer experience if you've got stores and many of the same things we've talked about. But as you put that kind of macro lens on 5 years from now, what are the three things you would advise a retailer or a consumer products company to be focusing on?
Yeah. Okay. Three things. So I go back to leveraging data. Like, I think that has to be the foundation of everything. And so look for opportunities, not just to collect data, but what are you going to use it for? And identify use cases that you can truly extract the value out of that in a way that differentiates you from your competition, you know, elevates you in the mind of the consumer, like makes an impact. And makes that making an impact is going to make an impact on the P&L. So, you know, how do you take advantage of the information that you have available to you? So that's number one. So use case on top of that, AI, ML use cases will continue to expand. There'll be new opportunities for that. We've talked about a couple today, like, you know, in the store is a great example. Like it will be more commonplace to use machine learning to kind of unlock a lot of the value. The next I would say, and it's probably not an answer you expect, but I think sustainability has to be on people's agenda over the next 5 years, like without a doubt. Like consumers will demand it, and rules and regulations, government will soon, you know, demand more of it. So I think that has to be on people's radar. I think what's really cool about the next 5 years in sustainability, though, is that, you know, again, like I've been in retail for more than 20 years, and sustainability has always, I think, been viewed as like, I will be less profitable, but it's the right thing to do, right? Like you've seen it as a trade-off in the P&L. And so it's kind of slowed a lot of the progress. I don't think that's the case anymore because of what we just talked about, the data and the machine learning use cases that can come out of that. So there are like several examples of retailers that we've worked with that have taken that data and taken data that's like publicly available as well and understood, great, like this is the source of my product. This is the impact it's having on the environment of harvesting it in this particular spot. I'm going to move, or I need to double down in investments in regenerative farming, or, you know, just even things like this is how active an employee is in this environment. And here's what I can do to reduce the impact that they have, reduce the impact of returns. Like there's huge, it's like a huge opportunity.
I think returns, I was going to bring it up. I think returns is like a persistent challenge. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, not all returns are entering the resale channel. Right.
Right.
And then, of course, you see examples of companies already looking to upcycle, recycle. A lot of that's based on the consumer they're serving, their brand, their value proposition. But I think we're going to see more and more of that. And returns is an area where, look, if you can make an impact on returns, reducing it 10, 15, 20, 25%, it's more profitable, to your point earlier, has a lower carbon footprint. And you're not wasting product or all of the transportation, logistics, handling, et cetera, going into that entire process. And so, again, AI and ML has a huge role to play.
Absolutely.
Getting the right product to the right customer at the right time, you know, reduces returns, making sure it's the right fit, not just size, but fit for purpose.
Right.
All of those things have a big impact on returns. Mm-hmm. And this is just, you know, a persistent challenge the industry's had for a long time. Direct to consumer obviously perpetuates that. Consumer behavior, you know, obviously plays a role. And some retailers are trying to impact that from a cost perspective. But I think also there's a sustainability component to it that I think is really important.
Yeah.
I think that's a really key one. Yeah. Couldn't agree more. So I wouldn't have been surprised if you said data, but
said it once.
All right. Another sort of future looking question. It's our last question we ask every guest. Amy, what futuristic digital commerce or marketing innovation are you most looking forward to? Something that's kind of on the horizon, that's kind of in the air, or maybe there's early examples of? Or alternatively, what innovation you think is overhyped? You think it'll just be kind of an unmitigated failure? You wish we would stop talking about it because you think it's a waste of time. You can kind of go high, you can go low, you can choose both.
I might go middle route here with my answer. You're going to hear, like, I have been obsessed by personalization for like the last 10 years of my retail career.
Mm-hmm.
Like since I was working at Williams-Sonoma and we were trying to figure out like, how do you do recommendations, right? Like forever. And I don't think anyone's nailed it yet. Like, I don't think as an industry, we have got this down yet. Like there's so much room. I mean, we talked about like the store environment is completely like greenfield for personalization. And so I think that there's so much to be done around, I said, I'm going to say data, using data, using your customer data to deliver.
We can put another quarter in the jar.
Thank you. I just think there's so much to be done using your customer information and delivering a really unique personalized experience across an entire journey. It is still really hard to serve someone the same promotion in an ad unit online as it is on the website, as it is in the app. That's actually like really difficult to do.
And it's like basic common sense, but incredibly difficult.
Yeah. And so I feel like there's just so much room there. And maybe because it's been a challenge for the last 10 years, I'm still obsessed by it. And I feel like I am excited to see what we can do because with data and AI, like I think that it's possible. It's definitely possible.
I'm right there with you. That's a great answer. Well, Amy, thank you so much for taking the time to join us here today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
And to our listeners out there, thank you for tuning in once again to another episode of Commerce Experience. You can check out the show notes for how to find Amy and her work over at Google. And in the meantime, Be well, be safe, and here's to good business.